الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا متاع وخير متاعها المرأة الصالحة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, we have witnessed today two nikahs being performed, and this indeed is the great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, I think it is appropriate that we should shed some pieces of advice, some words regarding nikah, matters pertaining to nikah. This is a very sacred and important institution in Islam. The institution of nikah is a legal, halal, pure, hygienic way of procreation of mankind. A person fulfills his desires, but it's not just a question of fulfilling a person's or gratifying his sexual desires. It is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, there is an incident of three sahaba which is very famous. We have heard this incident many times. But because there is a link with nikah, I think it is important to mention this incident where three sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in had gone to the houses of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to one of them, and they asked her about the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she very briefly outlined some important things. But then they said to themselves that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is ma'asoom. He has committed no sins. He is innocent. He is sinless. And therefore he does not have to exert himself in gaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure and entry into Jannah. He is the greatest of all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But we, on the other hand, we are the ummatis and we require to exert ourselves. So one of them decides, and he says, as from today, I am going to fast every single day of my life. Of course, besides the days when fasting are prohibited. Every day I'm going to keep roza. The other said, I am going to make tahajjud and ibadat the entire night. I'm not going to sleep. The third said, amma ana fa'atazilu nisa. I will not get married. I will live a life of celibacy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed later on, these three sahaba, this is what they have resolved. He calls them and then he explains to them that he is more pious than any one of them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taqwa, we cannot even comprehend. The rank, the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his piety, his taqwa, his righteousness. He says, I have got more taqwa than you, but I fast sometimes, nafil, and sometimes I do not keep roza. In other words, I don't keep roza every single day of my life. And he said that I read tahajjud and I rest as well. Sometimes I rest first, then I wake up for tahajjud. I do not engage in tahajjud from after Isha right till Fajr. And he said that I have got few wives. I marry women. So this is my way of life. And then he mentioned, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. This is my way of life. This is my sunnah. I keep nafil sometimes. I do not keep nafil. I make ibadat at night and I rest as well. And I get married to women. This is the moderation. This is the sunnah. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whosoever turns away from my way of life, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, then he does not belong to me. Perhaps because it is of the last incident that this sahabi who said, I will not get married anymore, and therefore we find in the nikah khutbah, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, this hadith is mentioned, but we should not forget the other sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم as well. Nonetheless, nikah is a very important institution, and therefore I would urge our youngsters who have the means of getting married, do not procrastinate salat, nikah, janaza. These are things Sharia does not want us to delay and postpone. We are not going to discuss today the type or finding a partner and getting married and the blessings of nikah, etc. What we will concentrate today is, as I would share some advices to the bridegrooms especially, and of course this applies to all of us. We have heard nikah talks numerous occasions. Every magazine a person sees now and reads now, you will definitely find aspects pertaining to nikah and divorce. Probably you see a picture of a heart which is shattered. You will see the laments and complaints of sisters who have been married and now they have been dumped. Inshallah, we hope to discuss general advices today. Like in one nikah, a person got married, and after the nikah, of course, the nikah certificate was handed over to the bridegroom. And he checks everything properly, looking at each detail. But he's searching for something. Looks at the reverse side of the nikah certificate, which is blank. So the Mauli Sahib is looking at him, "Bhai, what are you looking for? Everything is properly done here, recorded. Your name is here, everything, your signature, bride, you got married to the right girl, everything." He said, "No, no, Maulana, I'm looking for the expiry date." Now already looking for expiry date. Who is the wife? One who does the washing. W. I. Ironing. F. For feeding. E. Etc. Is that what you call a wife in Sharia? No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so concerned about the woman folk that he actually summoned the Sahaba and he said, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Please, my Sahaba, accept from me advice pertaining to your wives and your woman folk to be kind and caring, polite towards them." Of course, we have quarrels. There are arguments that take place. Is bickering taking place? Every marriage, husband and wife, there will be some arguments that take place. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, there are numerous incidents, but I will just mention one today. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Aisha, "I know exactly the time when you are happy with me, and I know exactly the time when you are not so happy." She says, "How do you know that? كَيْفَ تَعْرِفُ هَذَا?" He says, "When you are happy with me, and then when you are talking and discussing something, and you have to take an oath in our conversation, then you say, 'La wa Rabbi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.'" She says, "No, by the qasam of the Rabb of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." "So I know you are happy with me. You have mentioned my name. But when you are not so happy, then when we have a discussion, and you have to take an oath over something, you say, 'La wa Rabbi Ibrahim alayhi salam.' Then you take Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam name, oh Allah, oh the Rabb of Ibrahim. Then you don't take my name. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni la, wallah, Allah's qasam, la ahjuru illa ismak. The only thing I have done, oh my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that I have omitted your name. But Allah's qasam, in my heart, your love is still filled. There's no difference in my heart for the love that I have for you. These are lessons pertaining to husband and the wife. We have arguments, we fight, quarrel. We need to control those arguments. We need to know how to behave. Nikah is not a one-day occasion. It's a lifelong partnership. What we have seen now is an aqd in Arabic, a contract. It is an agreement. When the bride and bridegroom have accepted one another, they have accepted with it all responsibilities that go hand in hand. Yes, many times a person will agree. Husband will say, Maulana, you don't understand. Always you'll talk about the wives and ladies. But you don't know what we have to go through and how they demand this and how they demand that. And they keep on nagging. Yes, Rasulullah has mentioned that they have been created from a crooked rib. And therefore you have to enjoy them in that state of this. Their perfection lies in that state. Not trying to bend them and make them straight. Because that results in divorce. And we can see today, really, the amount of divorce rates increasing. Almost every single problem on a daily basis. Instead of being united, bonded, cemented, showing love and affection, we are finding that we are showing disunity. There's a breach of this agreement. There's an annulment of the nikah. Very easily, over petty issues, really. Very petty issues. We just want to cancel the nikah. We just want to annul the nikah. The girl just wants to go back to her father's house. Husband just walks out of the house. He blurts out statements, not realizing, not pondering how detrimental those words may be. We are not complaining. But eventually what happens? It becomes the problem of the Maulana. Now there is a mess in front of him and he is expected to take a magic wand and sort everything out with one wazifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pleaded. Allah has interceded on behalf of the wives. Allah says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Any person who knows Arabic, who is being addressed? The males. Oh husbands, take care of your wives. Allah is pleading to us. Your mu'ashara, the manner in which you deal with your wife, the manner in which you talk to your wife, the politeness, the affection you show, the sweetness, very easily when some other stranger has to phone us and talk to us, suddenly our accent changes. The wife is sitting there. When another woman is phoning us, another client or customer, suddenly we have a twang in our speech. Suddenly we are very polite. When we have guests, we entertain those guests. But we forget the work that this woman is doing for us. The hard labor, the toiling. She looks after us, especially when we are sick. She looks after and takes care of our parents many times. She entertains our guests. Without any complaint whatsoever. What appreciation have we shown? When last did we buy our wife a gift? So I was saying, yes, they do make demands. They do nag. We call it in English henpecking. Oh, all the time. We have to overlook these things. We do the same things many times, not realizing how we are behaving. We also make many demands. But there was one lady who made a lot of demands. Husband keeps on fulfilling her demands, and one day now he got tired. So she phones him, she says, oh, my beloved husband. And you know, when the woman wants something, in the language that is used. So she persuades him and tries to convince him. And she says, you know, I've seen a dream last night. And I saw in the dream that we are going to a huge mall. And there we come to a jewelry shop. And then I see a sparkling diamond. And then you take the diamond. And you don't even care about the price tag. And you purchase the diamond for me. And she says, I can see in this dream, I could actually feel you putting the diamond in my finger. Husband said, oh, what a beautiful dream. You know what I dreamt? I dreamt that your father was paying the bill. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة. A believer, should not look down upon a female believer. In other words, a husband should not look down upon his wife. إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. Perhaps he likes or he dislikes some quality of hers, some trait in hers. She speaks too much. She nags too much. She complains too much. Demands too much. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, overlook that bad quality of hers, but look at her good qualities. Look at her good qualities. Enjoy those qualities. Honor her because of those qualities. Don't dishonor her. Istawsu bin nisa'i khaira. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he gives a lecture. فَوَعَظَ فِيهِنَّ. He gives advices regarding the wives to the husbands. And what does he say? يَعْمِدُ أَحَدُكُمْ. One of you goes to his wife. They have an argument. There's a quarrel. They are fighting. فَيَجْلِدُ إِمْرَأَتَهُ جَلْدَ الْعَبْدِ. Then the husband abuses his wife. He takes out his whip. He lashes her like how a slave is lashed. He says, how ironical. This is how the husband behaves towards his wife. He beats her up. He whips her. فَلَعَلَّهُ يُضَاجِعُهَا فِي آخِرِ يَوْمِهِ. Not realizing that perhaps by the end of the day, he goes and he shares the same bed with her. Now when it comes to fulfilling his desires, for those few moments, now he sweet talks her. Now suddenly he becomes very calm and very composed. Just for his own, for the gratification of his own sexual desires, now he pretends as though he is very close to her. And he's showing her so much of affection and love. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this should not be our case. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. One of the objectives of nikah is what? That the spouse gets tranquility, serenity, protection, reassurance from the partner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes a Nabi. Wahi comes down. We know the entire incident of the cave of Hira. We are not going to go into the history of that. All of us by now should know that incident very well. If we do not know this incident, then please look up that incident. When he becomes a Nabi, and when the first few verses, five verses are revealed, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had pressed onto Rasulullah sallam very tightly three times, and then let him go. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was perspiring profusely. He's running towards his home. Where is he going? To his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. What does he say? That I fear I'm going to be destroyed. I'm going to die today. Immediately she comforts him. Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. And this is what a husband requires. He's stressed. He's got business problems. He's got payments to meet. different problems at work. He comes home. He wants to see a kind wife. Somebody who is going to reassure him, comfort him. And of course, we have to enter the house with salam, with a smile. If we are going to enter the house with a very solemn face, a very gloomy, glum face, no salam. Rasulullah mentioned to one sahabi, if you want barakah, you make salam and you enter, it will be barakah for you and for your family. Smiling is sadaqah. Rasulullah goes, Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, consoles him. Kalla, never! Wallah, Allah's qasam, la yukhzika Allahu abada. Allah will never destroy you. Allah will never embarrass you. Allah will never humiliate you. And then she enumerates his good qualities. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِّ وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. She mentioned, وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. You have got such beautiful qualities. You join ties. You help the people. وَتُكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. Somebody who does not have any means, you try and find some means for him. You assist him. You assist in times of difficulty. You've got good qualities. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got that solace from his Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. And therefore, even after her demise, he would still think about his Khadija. He would still make dua for his Khadija. He would even sacrifice an animal. And then he would distribute the meat to the friends of Khadija who are now residing in Madina Munawwara. When Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala questioned him once on this, he says, my Khadija was the one who brought iman in me when the rest of the people rejected me. She bore my children. How could I forget the kindness of Khadija over me? What appreciation have we shown to our wives? This famous incident, how often we have heard it. I'm going to mention it again. Perhaps some new brother has not heard it before. Perhaps we have not practiced upon it as yet. You know the famous incident when one person was invited and the wife prepared the meals and the Maulana comes in. I think we've got to change the word Maulana because people think only the Maulana gets dawat. They had some guests and they partook of the meals and as they were leaving, the person made the dua. There are sunnah duas to be recited when you visit somebody and you are a guest of some person, you make dua for the person. Some other occasion we'll discuss that. But he thanked behind the curtain, he thanked the wife. He said, MashaAllah, very delicious. Food was delectable. We enjoyed it. Allah Ta'ala reward you. And he left. The moment he leaves, she cries. Husband is saying, what is wrong with you now? The Maulana make dua for you, you crying. She says, he has come first time into my house. And he makes a dua for me, he appreciates, he thanks me for the food I have prepared. I'm living with you for 40 years, not a single day you even thanked me for this food. Maybe something light-hearted, but there's a very important lesson in this. So the next day this person, the husband, now the whole day, got all his messages, preparing, rehearsing, because he's not used to it. In the office, I must thank my wife today, I must thank her, and like this, and whatever. That evening food is there. And he's enjoying the food. And then after that, he begins to thank and praise her. MashaAllah. Jazakallah. Allah reward you. She cries again. Ah, he's saying, what's wrong now? Yesterday you cried because of that. Now today I'm praising you. Now you should make shukar I'm praising you. She says, today when the neighbor's wife sent food, now you're praising that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. Brothers and elders, wallah. I can now understand what Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to go through on a daily basis. It is not easy when you hear and you see an email, the cries of a woman whose husband has just dumped her, doesn't care. No affection, no mawaddat, no muhabbat. Look at the life of Rasulullah SAW. He actually ran a race. With his beloved wife, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Of course, in privacy, he sent the other sahaba, you proceed. Then in privacy, he ran races with her. He accommodated her. She was young when she came into his life. Read the story of Sayyidina Aisha when she married Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He accommodated her. She was young. She still needed to be in the company of her friends. He would allow that even. Time has already expired. In essence, we just need three things to remember. Three do's, three don'ts. To make it easy. We have heard many talks on nikah. But just to make it easy for us, something that we can go and reflect and ponder. There are many A's we can err on. But three A's, the first A which you should have, every husband, every wife, is Allah. You don't have Allah in your life. My respected brothers and elders, then your life is not going to be a life of bliss and happiness. Forget it. The three ayats that are recited on a nikah occasion, all pertaining to taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Each one has got a responsibility firstly to Allah. Husband and wife are married, yet there is no salat in their lives. There is no tilawat of the Quran. There is no dhikrullah. There's no mention of Allah and Rasulullah's name in the home. How do we expect barakah to come? How do we expect our wives to fulfill our duties? How does the wife then expect the husband to fulfill her duties? We have to attend the programs of our scholars, mashayikh and ulama. We have to learn deen. We have to connect ourselves to Allah. Then and only then, respected brothers and elders, We will enjoy our lives. Otherwise, it will be a life of sin, ghaflat. The newlyweds, they will go for a honeymoon. In that honeymoon, what happens? They totally become oblivious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As though He does not exist. Let us change our conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that peace, serenity, the enjoyment in your life. If you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first A, we got Allah. Second is akhlaq. Now we don't have time, but we have to develop good, polished manners, akhlaq, smile, make salam. Accommodate our wives. It's a new environment for both, especially for the wife. She's not used to this new home. She's not used to your type of taste and type of cooking that you like. Any woman, any young girl who gets married, she still misses her mother and father, and do we expect now that she's married to us, she must totally forget them completely? When a mother will phone and we'll have something to say. We need to show appreciation. That's the third A. Instead of criticizing them all the time, let us stop criticizing, and this is a genuine fact. Allah forgive us, Allah protect us. We tend to criticize her, belittle her, especially in front of her friends and sometimes her family members. It causes her pain. Sometimes the woman, she does that to her husband. He becomes angry. He becomes upset. He's disturbed. That I'm not showed any honor and respect. There were a couple that were going in the countryside. And as they were traveling, some argument ensued. And they began to fight again. And different types of languages were used. Things became very heated. So what happens when there's a fight? Most of us do this. After that few minutes, nobody is talking. Everybody is pulled up. Now there's silence in the car. Husband is cross, wife is cross. Nobody is communicating. Everybody, two of them are upset. And after some time, as they're traveling, suddenly he comes to a huge farm. He sees a lot of animals there. He sees some elephants there, he sees some donkeys there, he sees some cows there. Now suddenly he plucks up the courage, he breaks the silence, but what does he say? Excuse me, is that your family? Astaghfirullah. So she keeps quiet first, and then she says, yes, yes, these are my in-laws. Brothers, these are not things that we should be saying. I'm saying this on a light-hearted note, but really, let us go back. Let us be serious. Let us be serious. Talaq is no joke. The arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shudders. The arsh of Allah shakes when any husband and wife engage in a divorce. As far as possible, we should refrain from that. Try and patch up our arguments. Try and reconcile, reunite. This is your beloved wife. He is your beloved husband. Look at the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are three A's and the three A's which we should not be doing. First of all, becoming angry. Most of the time, how did he divorce her? He loved her all the time, but because of some petty thing, he became angry. In that anger, he blurted out, talaq, talaq, talaq. It's all over. Control our anger. We had given a lecture some time back on anger. We had discussed detail about anger and anger management and controlling a person's anger. Rasulullah said, a strong person is not a wrestler who can pin his opponent on the ground. A strong person is that person who drinks up his anger at the time when he becomes angry. And then abuse, physical abuse. Allahu Akbar. Really, I cannot understand. Allah protect all of us. How does a man have the courage? How does he have that type of sense of actually throttling his wife, fisting her, giving her a blue eye? I swear by Allah, there have been many, many, many years, for years they made sabr. They pretended as though they fell down and they got hurt, just to cover up for their husbands. He becomes so brutal. Is he a man? Is he a human being? How will you face Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah? You wonder who the Kawthar water? We must stop this abuse. And the third and the last A is having an affair with another woman. Or she has another affair with another man. Illicit relationships. This unfortunately has become scourge of society. How often the man is busy with his SMS, busy with his BBM, busy with his cell phone, busy on the internet, all on the pretext of work, clients. How many times she has caught him when he went for the shower, she happened to check who were the calls, what were the messages. When she went past, she peeped onto the screen. It was only filth, porn sites. When you bring shaitan in your house, you bring shaitan into your life. How are then you going to enjoy your halal, pure wife? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Let us analyze our lives. Let us change our lives, rectify our lives. Let us not be like that person. A survey was taken and women were asked about what do they feel about their husbands. Most of them gave a very positive response. And the one wife said, when my husband leaves in the morning for work, I wish I could just be with him. I miss him the entire day. The other said, I count the hours and I count the minutes and I count the seconds waiting for him to return. The third says, I prepare his food. I'm waiting for my husband. I love him so much. And Allah has given us so much of muhabbat. And the last one says, I wish I was never married to him. I wish I was never married to him. Brothers and elders, may Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat of fulfilling our rights. And Allah give the wives also the tawfiq and hidayat to fulfill the husband's rights. Let us live with muhabbat and unity. And inshallah bring taqwa in our lives, bring Allah in our lives. And then we will see bliss and happiness. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.